I talked to a young man today studying for the ministry, and things aren't going well in his life, and he kind of worried about whether God would turn his back on him because he was questioning a lot of things. And I just smiled. I said, God's never going to forsake you, ever. Now, if it was me, I would. But God's not going to. There are times when we all question and doubt. In those secret places in our heart that we don't want anybody else to know about, we sometimes wonder, is this all really true? Is it?
In life when, well, our confidence is just rattled. It's shaken to its foundation. We wonder if God has forgotten us or if his promises still hold true. But you know something? God never turns his back on his people. Even in our doubt, he remains faithful. This is Hope for Today, the radio broadcast with David Hawking. And today, we're continuing our look at Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 16. And in this passage, the Lord Jesus rides forth to keep every promise he's ever made, to judge righteously, to conquer evil, and to reign forever. Stay right there for day two of David's message, the second coming. First, here's David with a special word.
We need your help. We're running short, and we've got this to take care of. Would you please help us? Believe me, we need your help. Call us at 1-800-75-BIBLE for the United States, and in Canada, 1-888-75-BIBLE. God bless you for thinking of Hope for Today and all your plans to give unto the sites and ministries that are doing a job for the Lord. And thank you for caring about Hope for Today.
Well, thank you, David. And friend, if you'd like to be a part of this ministry through a donation, call us at 1-800-75-BIBLE. That's in the U.S. 1-888-75-BIBLE in Canada. And Bible by the numbers 24253. You can also donate securely online at our website, davidhawking.org. That's davidhawking.org, and we'll have our mailing addresses for you later in the program. Right now, here's David with day two of the second coming.
Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 to 16. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies that were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation 19, verses 11 to 16, the spectacular description of the coming of Jesus Christ. And I want you to notice three things. Number one, his names in this passage identify him clearly. His names. And I want you to see four things about his names. In verse 11, you have the reliability of his name. He's called Faithful and True. The reliability of his name. In verse 12, you have the recognition of his name. Being a difficult matter, it says he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And third, you have the revelation of his name in verse 13 when it says his name is called, here it is, the Word of God. And fourth, you have the royalty of his name, when in verse 16 it says, on his vesture and thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I like sometimes to sing in a message. Hope it doesn't upset you. But this particular chorus seems fitting. Join me. Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word. Name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word. His name is called the Word of God, the name that is above every name. Well, when I looked at the reliability of his name, faithful and true, it reminded me that this wasn't the first time that Revelation brought this up. Go back to chapter 1, please. The reliability of his name. Now, in ancient times, when you say name, you're not just referring to a person's title. Like, my name is David, but they would refer to what it means. The name represents the character or attributes or actions or abilities or characteristics of that person. In the case of David, beloved of the Lord. And when you have a name, it's referring to the character of that individual. And there isn't anything more important for all of us to understand when we speak of the name of our Lord than to understand it's not just a title. For instance, the angel said, thou shalt call his name Jesus. But it's because it meant something. It means that he shall save his people from their sins. Yeshua, Jehovah is salvation. 800 times in the Old Testament, we have a reference to the name of the Lord. 200 times in the New Testament. And it's interesting to me that as you examine that, the name of our Lord is always placed above any other name, whether it's a leader, a ruler, a monarch, a principality, power, you name it, his name is above them all. So who he is involved when you speak about his name. When we say the reliability of his name, we're talking about the faithfulness of God. He is faithful and he is true. Revelation 1:5. In giving the greetings in the opening of this book, John to the seven churches, he spoke about the greeting being from him who is and who was and is to come and from the seven spirits. But verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. The faithful witness. He is faithful and true. Look at chapter 3, verse 14. In the message, the last message of the seven messages to the churches, in the last one, to the Laodiceans, he describes himself like this. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. The faithful and true witness. Back to chapter 19. One of the things that caught my eye about Revelation 19 when I was just looking in the Greek text, it says in verse 11, he was called faithful and true, and it's a present tense in Greek. What it means is he is continuously called this. And I got to thinking about that, about God's faithfulness and the event of the second coming. And out of all the names that God could have chosen, there are many, many of them in the Bible. Why did he tell us right off the bat that this one on the white horse was called and is constantly called faithful and true? And I got to thinking about that. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7 and look at verse 9. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9. The first thing that God says about the Lord when he comes in that spectacular display of glory and majesty, the second coming of Jesus Christ in power and great glory, the first thing he draws to our attention, this one is continuously called faithful and true. Deuteronomy 7:9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, who keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. The first thing that struck me about the reliability of his name and how important it is at the time of the second coming is simply this: he makes good on his promises. Aren't you glad of that? He is never going to fail. He is faithful and true. You can count on it. He's coming again. Jesus said to his disciples right before he went to the cross in John 14:3, "I will come again." The two men in white apparel said, "This same Jesus who's taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you have seen him go." There's never any doubt about the second coming in the Bible. It's that moment when God tells all of us, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away." He is the faithful God. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10 and look at verse 23. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. The reliability of his name, he is faithful and true. And the first thing that I notice about that is that he makes good on his promises. There's so many people that go back on their word, but God will never fail to keep his word. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, we read this: "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering." Why? "For he is faithful that promised." Isn't that great? Imagine exhorting us, "Hold fast the profession." There are people among us who say, "Well, I'd never turn my back on it." Old Peter said the same thing. "Why should I hold fast?" "Don't give up," he says. "Don't waver. I know there'll be times when you will doubt it. You'll be in a dark place. You'll be walking through the valley and you'll wonder if it's true. Don't worry about it. He is faithful who promised." The whole thing is based on him. As a songwriter said, "Great is thy faithfulness." But turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and look at verse 13. The more I thought about it, the more I realized the importance of the reliability of the name, the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can rely upon him completely. You can depend upon him, and he will never fail. He not only makes good on his promise, but in 1 Corinthians 10:13, I learned that he will help us in our temptations. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is" what? "Faithful." Isn't that neat? He's the faithful and true one. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. But there's a third thing that hit me about the reliability of his name. He not only makes good on his promise, he not only helps us in our temptation, but according to 2 Thessalonians 3:3, he protects us from Satan. He protects us from Satan. You need protection from Satan? 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1. "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all men have faith. But the Lord is" what? "Faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil," literally the evil one. He will keep you. He will protect you from Satan. Why? Because the Lord is faithful. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. As I kept thinking about the reliability of his name, the faithful and true one, the one you can rely and depend upon. He not only makes good on his promise, he not only helps us in our temptations, he not only protects us from Satan, but number four, I love this, he will never forsake you. 2 Timothy 2:13, "If we believe not," you ever get to that point? There are times when we all question and doubt. Well, even if you're faithless, "if we believe not," verse 13, "yet he abideth faithful." He cannot deny himself. Is it important that he is called faithful and true? I'll say, because it means that we can count on the fact he is going to come. It is all going to be fulfilled, folks. It's going to happen because he is a faithful God. He will never forsake you. Hebrews 13, verse 5 says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you," ever. Turn to 1 John 1, verse 9. You keep thinking about the reliability of his name, how he can be totally trusted and depended on. He's the faithful and true one. He's constantly being called that. God wants us to know that faithfulness is his belt. as Isaiah tells us, that faithfulness surrounds him like the clouds, as Psalm 89 tells us. It's faithfulness that is the issue. Well, did you ever think of this? Because he's a faithful God, he will forgive you your sins. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a precious promise. If you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you. Aren't you glad you got a Savior like that coming back? Turn to John 7, verse 18. And what a wonderful Savior we have. When you say he's faithful and he's true, he seeks the glory of his Father. Look at John 7, verse 18. Jesus said, he that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is what? True, and no unrighteousness is in him. You can count on the Lord. Why? Because he doesn't seek his own glory. He seeks the glory of him who sent him. What a reliable, dependable Savior we have, even in that matter alone. Turn to 1 John 5, verse 20. 1 John 5, 20. You say, what does it mean when you call Jesus the faithful and true one who's coming on the white horse? Well, it means he's the genuine and only God. That's what it means. We started with Deuteronomy 7, 9. The Lord our God, he is the faithful God. But look at what it says in 1 John 5, 20. Faithful and true, it says, we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is what? True. He's faithful and true. He's genuine. We are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. The word this is a demonstrative pronoun. It is singular, not plural. It is masculine, not feminine or neuter. A pronoun must agree with the noun it modifies in its gender and its number. And it must agree with the closest antecedent, meaning the word closest to it, that precedes it. Which masculine singular noun is the closest to the word this? The answer is Christ. Does the Bible anywhere call Jesus Christ the true God? Absolutely. 1 John 5:20. He's the genuine and only God there is. Go back to Revelation 19. So when you start out looking at the spectacular description of the second coming of Christ, how interesting that the first focus is the reliability of his name. He is faithful and true. Titus 2:13 again says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing, here it is, of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's a rule in Greek grammar that says, when two nouns are connected by and the definite article the is in front of the first noun but not the second, it is connecting equals. Is Jesus Christ called the great God? He's called the true God in 1 John 5:20. The answer is absolutely. He's called the great God and Savior. It is a rule of Greek grammar that appears in 256 places in the New Testament with no exceptions. That's what I call a rule. There aren't any exceptions. And to all those who try to say that Jesus is not the true God or the great God and our Savior, I'm sorry, the Bible teaches otherwise. He's our great. And what are we looking for? What is our blessed hope? We're looking for our great God, the one and only true God. That's what we're looking for. He's our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So an amen or a praise hallelujah, anything would be appropriate.
That's David Hawking, and this is Hope for Today. David will be back to wrap up today's lesson in just a bit, so do stay right there. First, Matt's here, and together we're going to share a great resource with you. This is called Life's Greatest Questions.
What tough question is dominating your thoughts right now? Who am I? Where did I come from? What is the meaning of my life? Where am I going?
Matt, and if not you, someone you know is deeply troubled by a question like one of these.
Yeah, and they're not small matters. No. They're issues that affect our peace of mind, self-worth, ability to function. They can determine how we live today and where we're all going to spend eternity.
Matt, this is where your dad's book, Life's Greatest Questions, is so very helpful and uplifting.
Yeah, inside this book, Life's Greatest Questions, we go back to the Bible,
the whole Bible and nothing but the Bible.
Amen. For the answers to the perplexities of the human heart, from the beginning of creation and the fall of mankind to the end time eschatology of Revelation, God's Word has the answer to our deepest needs.
And Life's Greatest Questions opens the Scriptures and applies them to the questions we're all asking, Matt. And I'm thinking, too, that this book will not only help our listening friends, it will also help prepare them to help and encourage friends and family in their times of questioning and need.
Friend, you don't need to remain in darkness concerning life's greatest questions.
No.
God has given us His truth, and in it, we find hope, assurance, and peace through His Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
And you shall know the truth.
And the truth shall make you free.
John 8:32, amen. Life's Greatest Questions by David Hawking. Our featured resource this month is just $10. And your purchase or donation will help the Ministry of Hope for Today.
And please pray for hope for today in these challenging times.
To get your copy of Life's Greatest Questions, call 800-75-BIBLE in the U.S., or 888-75-BIBLE in Canada, and Bible spells, if you will, 24253. You can also order online at davidhawking.org. And as David mentioned earlier in the broadcast, we're trusting the Lord during this important season to provide the resources needed to keep Hope for Today strong and on the air and online. This ministry exists so that people everywhere can hear the truth of God's Word clearly, faithfully, and without compromise. We are a listener-sponsored broadcast. That's how we stay on the air and online. Your financial support, large or small, goes directly to sharing the gospel and teaching the Bible, nothing else. So if God has used this program to encourage you and grow your faith, would you prayerfully consider standing with us right now? You can give safely and securely online at davidhawking.org or call 1-800-75-BIBLE in the U.S. or 888-75-BIBLE in Canada. You can also send a note, a prayer request. Tell us how God is working in your life as you listen to the Word of God being taught here on the program, or send a donation by mail to Hope for Today, Box 3927, Tustin, California, 92781. Or in Canada, write to Hope for Today, Box 15011, RPO Seven Oaks, Abbotsford, BC, V2S 8P1. Or again, you can give online at davidhawking.org or call us at 800-75-BIBLE in the U.S. or 888-75-BIBLE in Canada. And Bible is 242-53. And please do continue to pray for God's leading and provision over this ministry. I pray that we would always remain faithful to His Word, fruitful in His work, and wise in the decisions that we make in the ministry. Thanks so much for praying for us, and do let us know how we can pray for you. Well, once again, here's David.
We are looking at the second coming of our Lord. With all the angels of heaven coming, oh, what a day it's going to be. And according to the Bible, we're all going to come with Him. What a blessing. Interesting, it says in verse 14 that following Him right out of heaven are armies of angels. Whoa, this is going to be something else. They're on white horses too, just like our Lord is. What a day that is going to be. And He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if you've been noticing and following along with us and listening, you know that the words King of Kings and Lord of Lords are in giant capitals, what we call unctuals. They're bigger than normal capitals. And years ago when I was sitting in a class in Revelation in Greek, I couldn't help but want to get out and study in the library and find out from all the Bible translations whether they were all with these giant letters. Well, they certainly were. In other words, it's like the theme of the Bible is right in front of us. King of kings and Lord of lords. That's where the Bible's been heading with everything that's being said. And we're seeing the wrap-up now in the book of Revelation chapter 19 as he's coming in power and great glory. And I'm going to tell you some things that are going to happen that we need to be very, very sure about as to where we stand and whether or not we're ready and prepared for this amazing, majestic, exalting the Lord revelation from heaven. Wow. God bless you.
Well, next time on Hope for Today, it's day three of our look at the second coming of Jesus Christ, that great moment when the King of Kings returns to reign. Wow, can you imagine the day? David Hawking will open the scriptures once again to show us what that day will be like when the heavens open, the nations tremble, and every eye sees the Lord in his power and majesty. You won't want to miss it. Day three of our study on the second coming of Jesus Christ. And do be sure to share this broadcast with everyone you know, because the time, it's short. Amen. We'll see you next time on Hope for Today.